And good afternoon. Welcome to your extended news and noon as we continue our conversations with the school districts. Of course, we did this last week. We're continuing this in the last couple of days. We're down to the last couple of schools to talk with in Butler County. Today is our day with Seneca Valley School District. Dr. Tracy Vitale, the superintendent, is on with me. Dr. Vitale, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to look for another communication venue for our parents, students, and community.
And as we've been noting, if you will, as we're having these conversations are either the day of that people are hearing this or maybe a day before. And I say that because information can change. And so as we're talking to you, the sports has been decided and adjustments have been made. Do you think that you're going to have any further adjustments, or is that the million-dollar question?
Well, that is certainly the million-dollar question, since the decision has been made for by the PIAA, and I know the board voted 25-5 to move forward with fall sports as planned. Overall, as an educator, as a parent, I think this is a good thing. I think local control is always a very good thing because we can watch the cases in Butler County. We can watch those numbers each and every day. We can put things in place to locally mitigate, and I think it's a good thing. When we think about students, we know that the spring played, you know, quite a bit of havoc on their mental health, with adults as well. But, you know, my concern is always for students. And so we think anytime we can get them outside and get them involved in sports, we know that's good for their mental health and certainly for their physical health as well. I would argue it's more important for their mental health than anything else. So Seneca Valley will be moving forward with sports, but we will be talking with our school board. We are likely to have an emergency meeting on Monday evening. We're preparing for that now, and that's next Monday, the 31st, I believe the date is on that.
Yes.
So we are preparing to give our school board an update on how we will go about doing this. As you know, many schools in the Butler County area have participated in conditioning with our athletes. And so how we will move from conditioning to full practices and full competition, I think that will look a lot different than, I know it will look a lot different than it did last year in the fall. But we believe we can do this safely, but we will need parent cooperation, community cooperation, because it's going to look much different than what we experienced last fall.
And I'm wondering how many people are getting used to the difference, because now that we're out, I'm seeing a lot more people. I can't talk for them, but it seems like they're more comfortable in the protocols that are set for whatever location that they're going to. Are you finding that within your district, or is this still an unsettled matter?
Well, I agree with you. You know, last week and the week before, we've been doing conditioning all summer with our athletes. And, you know, it's been just a sheer pleasure to see kids come back onto our campuses and children wearing masks without, you know, it's as if nothing happened with them other than now they're wearing a mask. So the kids have been, you know, high-spirited, so excited to be here, and that's been very refreshing for us as educators and for our coaches. But I think you're right, because so many people are out and about, which is a good thing, and they understand universal masking, and whether they like it or not, they are participating and cooperating. They understand social distancing. So I think we are in a much, much better place than we were in the spring in understanding what we need to do to mitigate. That doesn't mean we know everything about the virus. Certainly each and every day we're learning more. And what we know today is a little more than what we knew on Friday or Saturday. So I think people will understand. I think what will be difficult for parents to understand is the fan portion, that it is likely we will have to limit our fans. And this is going to be very difficult, especially for a sport like football, because as we know, football is more than just the game. It's about coming together as a community. It's about neighboring rivalries among school districts. And it's a long-held tradition in Pennsylvania, across the United States, but especially in Pennsylvania. So I think where people won't understand and may be upset is when we have to limit the amount of fans at any of these sporting events. But I think we have to remember that how we did business last fall is not how we're doing business today. And that goes for those that are working, still working out of their homes today. I'm sitting in my office. But the technologies that we've all gotten very good with, whether that's Microsoft Teams, whether that's Zoom, whether that's a live streaming platform, we hope that we can leverage our high school TV studio. We have a very high-tech studio. We have a teacher in charge of that studio. He teaches classes. He also has another teacher that assists in that studio when she can. She's teaching English classes. When she can, she assists. And both of them are very involved with our students. And so our students will do their very best to live stream these venues. We have to work through what we're permitted to do with WPIALS and PIAA. But I think, you know, we held graduation in May. We were one of the few school districts that held an in-person graduation, and we were able to live stream that over 2 full days. We never thought we would be able to do a graduation at the level and quality we did for all 600 graduates. So, you know, we use that as an example, as kind of a venue of hope, that we can do something similar with our sports teams. And we'll have to evaluate, you know, what sports teams can operate outside with social distancing. While the students are actively engaged in the sport, they do take the mask off. So we just have to be very cognizant of how we'll go about doing this. In conditioning, we were exercising children in pods. So if we had a positive case, we could quickly work with the Department of Health and shut down just that pod instead of the entire team. So we've learned a lot about that through the summer, and I think that will help us as we move forward in fall sports.
And it sounds like you have great positivity in you looking forward to the school year.
I do. I am very positive about this upcoming school year, simply because anytime we've faced adversity as a school district, we've always risen above that. And in that moment, we've always found opportunities to become better. And I think that's how we are as Americans. You know, my father was in the United States Marine Corps and fought in Vietnam. So I am always very hopeful because of the way that I was raised. I'm very optimistic. And I, you know, as of Friday, we had all 900 employees back, teachers. We've had our custodians and our cafeteria employees back for a while. Our 12-month employees have been back all summer. So each layer that we bring more and more people back to our campuses, I get even more optimistic and hopeful and excited. It's not easy. We certainly have a lot of mitigation efforts to contend with. But each day we work through another problem, and that makes me even more optimistic about bringing all of our children back.
Dr. Patel, I've asked every superintendent about them, and I failed to start off our conversation that way, but I'm glad you talked about sports. But what I've asked every superintendent thus far is, give me a picture of what it's like to be you right now. If all opinions were set aside, what would you like to tell the community and parents and families? Is it the statement you just made, or what's on your heart?
Well, certainly I care deeply for the children in our community. I would not have stayed in the business as long as I have if I didn't. And I have my own children, so I'm a mom. I have a 21-year-old, and I have a 14-year-old going into ninth grade. The 21-year-old's a senior in college. And so I fight for them, but I fight for all children. I've been working undoubtedly, always been a workaholic because of my passion for this business. But this has been a whole new level of work, you know, running the district from my car, from my home, from my desk, from my briefcase outside, wherever I find myself, working 7 days a week, undoubtedly from the moment I wake up until the moment I put my head on the pillow. I feel good about the work we're doing. It is difficult. It is challenging. There are problems that we have never faced before. But I find hope when I walk into a business or a restaurant or, a community center in our community, or go to a park. I find hope in the way that we are coexisting with this virus. We can do it. We will get through this. It won't be easy. But we cannot afford, in my opinion, to shelter in place again. we lost 3 months. Certainly, we did our very best as educators to make sure the education was still moving forward, but we really can't afford to do that again. If we have to, we will, and we're resilient people. But we cannot, in my opinion, afford to not take chances for our children in the safest way possible. So I would say, you know, what's on my heart, I have a laser focus about getting all of our children back here and that we would open our doors as safely as possible. I'm also a researcher, so I have learned a lot about this virus. You know, I try not to get my information from mainstream media only. I look to the epidemiologists. I look to the infectious disease doctors. I look to the experts in the medical field on this topic, and I listen to their podcasts, and I read the research, and every day there's something new coming out. So I think it's safe to assume that I've become a little obsessed with the virus and how it impacts schools. That's been a real focus of mine. And that all of that weighs heavy on my heart. But every night I go to sleep knowing I did the very best I could and that we're going to get through this.
Something that's unique to Seneca Valley is that you all live in that corridor that's very heavily traveled, 1979, all the way just below Prospect to Cranberry Township. Are you looking at numbers a little differently than what you'd think the rest of the county would look at these numbers? Because you have that easy access to Allegheny County. Does that affect the numbers that you look at?
Absolutely. We are focused on the Butler County daily count. We look at that every single day, my team and I. We also look at the Allegheny County count. But again, that's a pretty broad base when you talk about Allegheny County. But there's also a way to mine the data on the Pennsylvania Department of Health dashboard under zip code. So I'm also very focused on what are the zip codes in our school district and what are those daily numbers. And then you have to be cognizant that the daily numbers, for instance, on the Pennsylvania Department of Health for Butler County, their latest data this morning is 821. So you have to remember that there is a delay in the data. So we are watching a 14-day rolling case average in the county and in Allegheny County, and then watching those zip code numbers. So, you know, at times the numbers will drive you crazy, but we have to watch those because there's a real intersection here in this moment between public health and public schools. And so it's important for me for the first time in my career to learn so much about a virus. We've always focused on children's health, but now looking at this virus through the lens of our community spread and transmission, how is it impacting children differently than adults? You know, just looking at in March, April, May, even into June, there wasn't much research about how it was impacting children, and we thought that it wasn't. And then the bars opened, and the 20-somethings went to those bars, and we saw, while they're not children, they're still very young in their early 20s, and we saw then that community spread in that age population. And since that time, we do know through high school athletics, there have been isolated cases in every district. So, yes, we are, getting back to your question, we are watching our district specifically through multiple lenses, and we have to be cognizant about the counties that surround us, even Beaver County, where we know the numbers had a spike and were inflated this summer. But you have to put that into context. That was because of one nursing care home there. So you have to always look at the numbers and try to understand where they might be coming from and what the community transmission is looking like as it impacts your school district.
Seneca Valley School District Superintendent Dr. Tracy Vitale on the phone with me. And so in that vein of our conversation, what is your contingency plan if you see quite a few cases of COVID-19? Because you have a large school district. All the schools in Butler County are talking to each other. But you compare with the size of Butler School District. And with a large school district like that, what are your contingency plans if you start to see quite a few cases?
The contingency planning actually for all of our school districts in Butler County goes back to June, where we started asking the Department of Health for, do you have some type of metrics so that we can be prepared for August? At that point, they did not. We kept asking for that. We kept advocating for that. And we weren't getting that, I'll be honest, and I'll be open about that. So I began doing some of my own research. I joke that I think I wrote another dissertation over one weekend, and this was in July, where I have been following an epidemiologist out of Minnesota. His name is Dr. Osterholm, and he has been in the business for 45 years. He works for a disease and research center out of the University of Minnesota. And he worked closely with his Department of Health in Minnesota to give those school districts metrics in July about what do you do if you have one case, or what do you do if you have two cases, how do you go about shutting down buildings. But even more important than that, the discussion for him in July was about when is it safe to open school buildings. And he believes that local school districts should be making these decisions across the country. State leaders, governors should not be making blanket decisions for every school district. So I haven't spoken to him personally, but I've listened to all of his podcasts, and something tells me he would agree with the approach we're taking in Pennsylvania. We used and I shared his metrics that he worked on with the Minnesota Department of Health with all the Butler County superintendents, as well as every Monday at 2 p.m., we are on a collaborative phone call with the Butler County commissioners, all of the Butler County superintendents, and Butler County, Butler Health System doctors, including an expert in infectious disease.
Dr. Love, yeah, we've talked to him many times, yes.
Great. So I used those metrics with that team, and we were looking at those metrics pretty closely about what does this mean for opening our schools. When in August, it was only about 2 weeks ago, we received information from the state about metrics on how safe it might be to open your school and in what kind of a model. Then last week, we received the metrics we were looking for from the Pennsylvania Department of Health and the Pennsylvania Department of Education in collaboration. And so that is now our contingency plan. But I want you to know our contingency plan prior, because we weren't sure if we were going to get what we were asking for from our state. We developed our own in Butler County, and that contingency plan has now morphed into the guidance that the Department of Education recently gave us.
Does that mean you're staying open if you have a certain number of cases, or because of your size of school district? Because you're a different size than like Montauk or Carnes City. You know, you're much bigger. How many cases would it take before plans would have to be adjusted again?
Well, the metrics that the Department of Education has given us is that if we have one student or one staff member, the level of community transmission in the county is probably pretty low. And so we would work with, at Seneca Valley, we promoted a nurse to a nursing administrator who is our point of contact between me and the Department of Health and the family or the student or staff member that is positive. So one student or one staff member being positive would not close our district, likely would not close a building either. You have to keep in mind at Seneca Valley, we have 9 schools under 7 roofs. So we have 7 physical buildings, but 9 schools. So it would depend where that case was and the context of that situation, working with our nurse administrator and the Department of Health. If we have 2 to 4 students or staff, they're telling us we may need to look at possibly a 3 to 5 day closure in that building. But if it's 2 to 4 students or staff across the district, again, I don't see that being a building closure, depending on the context. Again, when you say you have a positive case, has that student been in the building? When were they last in the building? Were they on any school buses? You know, doing some of that background information to provide for the Department of Health, who is doing all the contact tracing. So we would work in collaboration with the Department of Health to determine whether we close down one classroom, several, the building, or the whole district.
And I want to insert as you make that point, because it is a point that we've reiterated on, I do believe, every conversation with the school district in Butler County, is to make the point that you all are not doing COVID testing on site. It is up to the Department of Health to do, or the testing, however that's done with whatever testing center somebody goes to. But it's up to the Department of Health to tell your school district if you have a case. So you may have a case in your school that you may not know if the Department of Health does not tell you about it.
You're right. What we have found, though, at Seneca Valley throughout the summer, when we've had athletes who have tested positive, we've had a few scenarios. We typically, the parents, have been in close contact with coaches. So that's been our first line of defense. And usually when we call the Department of Health, we don't, let me put it this way, we don't wait for them to call us.
Okay.
We instead, when we have found out a case, we have called them. Now, I suppose as we get into school, they may be calling us with additional cases for which we may not be aware. But I think for the most part, our parents this summer have been absolutely wonderful in being collaborative, open, and honest with the coaches. So the cases we found out about this summer were through our parents, and we're thankful. You know, we want the coaches to have this open dialogue with parents so that when we have a case, people aren't afraid to tell us. That's very important. We keep the name and the privacy of the student confidential, but it's very important that we can react when we have a positive case. So we believe that kind of relationship will continue, and I think it's because of all the education we've done through the summer with our parents.
Let me switch gears here because I'm looking at our time, and I know I'm going to quickly run out of time with you. We could talk about temperatures and social distancing and masks, and that's been a part of our conversations, but I really want to ask you about your budget, as I have other school districts. Do you expect any shortfalls in your budget? Do you expect any struggles with trying to find teachers and substitutes if some folks would get sick, even with the common cold, not necessarily COVID? But do you expect any shortfalls in your budget that will cause you some issues as we go throughout this school year?
Undoubtedly. I was just running some numbers last Friday, and we were given federal grant money to the tune of $393,829. We spent that within a month on plexiglass, temperature scanners, disinfecting mister sprayers, hand sanitizers, you know, gloves, masks, all the PPE required to open a business. You need that and more for schools. Zoom licenses, teleconferencing rooms. So we spent that money pretty quickly, looking at HVAC, you know, heating, ventilation, air conditioning. We spent $10,000 on a study to examine HVAC in all of our buildings. This money is not near enough. And I know it sounds like, well, how can that be possible? That's a lot of money, close to $500,000. We have already spent over $500,000. So we know we'll have some budget shortfalls. The other thing that we did was staffing is probably number two next to busing. Now, busing is number one challenge in my district, covering 100 square miles, 7,400 kids. Number one challenge for us. And the second challenge is staffing. Our teachers are here. They've been here. They are eager to work. They're eager to welcome kids back. But the reality is if they have a temperature or any sign of a symptom for COVID, they need to stay home. And we've been pretty honest about that with them. And because of that, we have to be ready to physically pivot with substitute teachers. So early on, we hired what we called the A-team. We hired 33 additional subs to cover our 9 schools. And they will step in. They're being trained right now with our, they are certified teachers. Some of them have been emergency certified. They have a college degree or they've subbed with us in the past, but they are highly qualified and they are being trained right alongside of our teachers so that if one or two teachers or up to 30, we are prepared up to 30 absences a day. We won't get to that, but we had to have this backup plan ready. So that is the first time in my entire career we've had to hire 33 additional subs to come in and be trained every single day with our teachers. These aren't day-to-day subs who will pick up a job in the morning. They are coming to our schools each and every day, even if we don't need them, because we know we can still use them for spreading out our classes, creating more opportunities for social distancing. And any school who does not have a backup plan like that is going to struggle and is going to close.
How does that affect your budget when you have so many additional subs coming on board?
Undoubtedly, salary costs are going to go up. These subs make between $90 and $100 a day, our normal sub rate. But the school board authorized an additional $300 bonus for the subs that they will receive on day 31. So if they come to work every single day and they don't miss any one of those first 30 days, they will get a bonus on day 31. The school board will reevaluate that in the next 2 weeks to see if they will continue it. But even if at that extra financial increase, we still had subs turn us down and say, it's still not enough money for me to come in and risk all these exposures. with children who are transmitting the virus. We now know that. So that undoubtedly, I don't have a total for you in front of that, but we are going to see COVID costs impact our budget for undoubtedly this year. Now, Seneca Valley has reserve funds and contingency funds, so we're in a pretty good place with being able to support that, but we can't support those numbers year after year. So we will have to reevaluate budget costs in March and April, and it will impact next year's budget.
Dr. Tracy Vitale, superintendent of Seneca Valley School District. But I do want to ask your final thoughts before I do let you go. It's a big conversation. You have a large school district. I love the fact that all the school districts are working together and having the conversation with the many individuals that you mentioned a few minutes ago. What are your final thoughts that you would like to leave with us today as you start school?
Well, I'll steal some of Dr. Osterholm's thoughts. Flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. That I've been even working with my own family at home to say, look, if your school district decides to close tonight, we have to be prepared to react to that in the morning. You know, what is my daycare situation? Who will be home with you? What is expected of you online? So if we think we're going into this, I know we're all planners. So many of us are planners, and we like to think about what's coming next. We are going to have to own that the only thing that we can guarantee is that there will be substantial changes every single day. And I know that's disruptive to families. I know it's disheartening. But if we own that this is a COVID year and there are going to be a lot of changes and disruptions, if we own that, I think it puts us in a better position when things don't go our way, because they are not going to go our way. Schools are going to do their very best to smooth this out and to bring some normalcy to our children's lives. But the virus doesn't care that we've planned a great opening. The virus doesn't care that we have a great plan for our buses. The virus is going to do what the virus is going to do. So we have to be prepared to react in these moments and keep our emotions in check, because our children are watching us and our children depend on us in this moment. And the history books will write about what schools did in this moment to serve children.
Dr. Tracy Vitale, Superintendent, Seneca Valley School District. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.